The following interview was conducted on Monday, March 23rd, when there were 235 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the state of Minnesota, which was a 66-person increase over just 24 hours earlier. This is Leo Babiu for KTWH 99.5 FM. We are trying to keep up with the pace of our community's response to COVID-19. Last week, we saw the beginning of a school closure for a planning period in the Lake Superior School District, and we talked with Superintendent Bill Crandall at that time about plans for both meal distribution, childcare, and planning to have a distance learning program in place in anticipation that there might be an extended closure. And I have back on the line with me today Dr. Bill Crandall. Welcome back to KTWH, Bill.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
I realized that we were catching you at the very beginning of on the first day of school closure, and plans need to be adjusted a lot of the times, and nobody's ever lived exactly in times like this. Do you have any parallel situation that you've been involved in the schools in your career, Bill?
No, this is unprecedented times as far as having a mass school closing like this throughout the country.
I think it's safe to say that in several parts of the country, the closures are either extended or they are like final through the end of the 2020 spring school year. That some, I believe the state of Kansas, I know for sure, has decided they're not even attempting to come back. So you're...
That's correct. And then Virginia announced that as well today.
Okay. State of Virginia today. So a number of school districts, state school systems are preparing for pretty dramatic circumstances. I don't even know how that's going to affect their education program and, well, their, for instance, high school seniors. But right here in Minnesota, in northeastern Minnesota, Bill, you've now are in your second week meeting with staff to plan for distance learning that would need to go into effect once an extended closure of the schools is announced. I haven't heard the full statements by the governor today. Where, as far as you know, where does it stand, the likelihood and your preparation going forward?
The likelihood is very high, and distance learning has been defined by Department of Education for the state of Minnesota, would commence on March 30th, which is this coming up Monday, and we've been preparing for that.
Are you mandated to have a plan that is actually reviewed by the state in some way, even if it's an ad hoc hurry-up review by the end of this week, or how else could this proceed?
Great question. We are required to have a plan up on our website by the end of this week, and we will have our plan posted on our website. It will be a little bit different for the secondary than the elementary, but our plan will be how we are going to provide distance learning for all of our students throughout the district, how we're going to communicate with our students, take attendance and such, how materials will be delivered out to them. As far as what we've heard from the state is, it has not been officially declared that we're going distance learning, but that is where all indications are leading, is that we will start distance learning on March 30th.
Bill, we are a large spread out district. I assume that from what you told me last week that you've been surveying your families, the students, to see what their ability to provide both digital devices and their access, their digital inclusion, whether or not they have effective broadband available to them. And I imagine you have people in our district who kind of run the gamut from being really connected to those who aren't so well set up. Are there contingencies for handling the situation for people who do not have ideal situations for what we think distance learning might be on the internet?
Yeah, great question. We did do a survey, and that was to determine if homes had internet and or if homes needed devices as well as internet or just devices. And so based on that, we are looking at the logistics of getting devices into the hands of our students. We're looking at this Wednesday for logistics at our different buildings. We will providing a time when parents can come and sign out a device. We're looking at over 200 throughout, you know, district-wide, Silver Bay and the Two Harbors area. And in some cases, we determined that students did not have internet, And so we have what are called hotspots. It's through Verizon, and those will also be signed out when folks come and get their devices. And we're looking at just a little under 100 of those hotspots that we need to be able to get students in a position where they can get that connection.
So, Bill, I'm not the host of a tech show and never could be confused with one, because I'm trying to understand at first blush when I hear the hotspot, does that mean there's going to be a way for whatever you're handing out to connect with through Wi-Fi to where there is broadband? I'm trying to follow.
That is that. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, what you're asking is correct. So what a hotspot will do is similar to like your phone, a handheld phone using cell service, they'll be able to have access to the internet.
Okay.
And so it'll have enough data capability that the students will be able to get their schoolwork done. It's not set up with unlimited data where they can stream YouTube or things like that, but it'll have enough capability for...
So you're not handing out something with which you expect them to be streaming movies, to say the
least. Correct.
Okay. And would that necessarily, you would think that there'd be a cost for some special setup of a service? Is the district handling that?
Yes. That's part of our expense to make sure that we have provided for all of our students to be able to have equitable educational services provided to them.
And as of now, you say you're fairly confident that that'll actually be able to get into the people's hands in time should distance learning start next Monday?
Yes, we feel fairly comfortable. Of course, we know we're going to be running into bumps in the road where, oh, geez, how do we set this up? And so we have actually tech support set up throughout the district as far as how to handle those types of questions when they come in, along with our teachers and paraprofessionals will be reaching out to students and families to help and assist in getting this all up and running. But we do foresee that there will be issues getting everyone set up, and we'll be reaching out to assist.
Okay. In general, families are going to be kept up to speed on any wrinkles that are being worked out. Need-to-know information will primarily come to them by news posted on the ISD 381 website, or will you still primarily use your instant messaging service or a combination of methods to keep folks, you know, aware of any bumps in the road and your responses to them?
Our website will have the most detailed information, and in some cases, even our instant alert direct folks to there. We have our nurses that are continually updating the COVID-19 information they get from CDC and public health nurse information throughout the state. For educational and academic type messaging, we will, to make sure we hit everybody, we will be using our instant alert to provide that information out to our students and families.
Great. Last week when we spoke, Bill, and I'm speaking today on KTWH with Dr. Bill Crandall, superintendent of Lake Superior School District, and Bill, we spoke about how the district was going to be providing extended day childcare to both children of emergency or essential, and maybe you can help direct me on that, workers as well as the district staff that had to be in the building during the planning these 2 weeks. How has that worked out? Is that continuing to function the way you hoped it would? Are we serving some of our essential employees with that care?
Yes, we are. Actually, the state changed it from that to tier one, which are those essential employees throughout our communities with, you know, firemen, policemen, hospital employees, those folks. That's that group that's in the tier one. And then they created a tier two, which would be considered our staff within our buildings, grocery store workers, city employees, county employees, MnDOT employees. And so folks are aware that we do have childcare in all three buildings. And so we do have folks in all three buildings that have taken advantage of that. And so we are providing that service.
So that important provisional services working. And now I wanted to get to the issue of the food distribution, which last week I think I, you know, played my hand a little heavy and said how impressed that I was at how ambitious the project was to deliver meals, perhaps even using our district transportation system, our school buses, and what has actually been able to be used in delivering meals. I know there seems to be an adjustment pointed at in the district website talking about a daily pickup at the school buildings. Would you take us through how this has evolved?
Yes, last week, based off of our survey, we had a list of families that we needed to get lunches and meals to. And so our bus drivers, along with paraprofessionals, helped and assisted in that. Our cafeteria staff put together our meals. We are continuing delivering those meals through this week to those specified addresses that had signed up for that program. And that's being done through our vehicles. In some cases, there are, suburban-like vehicle, and we have one or two buses that are also doing those deliveries.
So that's through...
In addition, we have opened it up based on new information from MDE that we're able to serve all students under the age of 18 that live in our area. And so we are now providing meals at the sites for grab and go, as we refer to it as. And we just ask the families connect with the school and say, hey, we'd like food for our family and we need three meals for our three children. So we have a, at least an estimate on how many meals that we need to prepare.
Right. You have to verify that that family does have three children and you are at least online saying that child has to be present to pick up the meal.
That's correct.
Okay. In fact, the fuller picture is that people who have already gotten signed up for those deliveries, those folks are still being served by district transportation personnel delivering meals, and there's an additional large group of students in families that weren't covered by the first round of food distribution logistics. We've got people
that are... Yeah, and they're eligible to come to our building.
Okay.
Now, starting on March 30th, we will be just having what we're referring to as hubs throughout the district and up in Finland, in Beaver Bay, down in Knife River, at the Duluth Township Hall, out in Brimpson,
okay,
and then the three buildings. And so we will have sites from 9 to 11 where folks can pick up meals. Once again, we've been asking families to get back to us so we know approximately how many meals to have prepared, and then they know what location for their family to pick up food at.
I see. So right now, when I look at the website, it's telling me that the pickup grab and go would be happening at the three school sites, and it designates which door at those sites. But you're telling me that actually a number of other community-based hubs, whether in Knife River, Duluth Township, in Finland, these are all going to be part of a little bit of an expanded pickup site logistics. And so is that going to be, is everybody going to know where those pickup sites are so they can figure out where they, what's closest to them?
Exactly. That'll be out on our website. And we're also doing, communicating with families directly, letting them know, hey, we've set up for you your meal to be picked up at, the Beaver Bay site or the Finland site or the Knife River site. And so they'll know where they should go to pick up their meal.
So the distribution at the three school sites is happening for folks who sign up for it during this week, Bill? Just trying to get...
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it too late now? Everybody who could sign up has to be signed up?
Oh, no. People can come. Yep.
Okay. And they need the call ahead then. And where would they... Who are they going to contact? One of the school sites?
They just call the school directly, and any one of the administrative assistants in the office will be able to take their name, and if, whatever, the Olson family, and we have three kids, they'll take that information down.
Excellent. So people just need to know the child needs to be present. It's like one of those giveaways where you must be present to win. You need to have the child be present to collect that meal. And the meal includes not simply a lunch, but some breakfast and a snack in addition, or how would you...
Yeah, so inside the bag, they get breakfast, a lunch, and a snack.
Fantastic. So the ducks are set in a row now to maybe to be ready to function during an extended closure, Bill. But what are the questions that you would like to have a better handle on? You might be notified as late as at the end of this week that the extended closure will begin on Monday. Are there things that you would really like to understand better before this goes into an extended closure?
Well, yeah, we have some concerns about our staff, some clarity as far as making sure that we can pay all of our staff and continue to pay them. And so that's one of the biggest questions out there. I mean, that's a question out there for many business owners throughout our community. Of course, we would be considered, in a sense, one of the employers within the community.
Right.
So we want to make sure that we're able to pay our staff. And then, yeah, there is if shelter in place goes become something for the state of Minnesota, what does that actually mean? Are we going to continue to provide meals and childcare, or is shelter in place supersede that? So there are a few looming pieces that are out there.
Right. Is there any concept under which the transportation system of the district could make house-to-house deliveries to all parties that want or need meals? Or is that an overwhelming task?
Well, we will be providing that service for if there's a family with a student who would be considered fragile.
Yeah.
So we would be able to provide that.
Okay.
And if they have any other concerns, please have families just call directly to their schools and we can make arrangements if there is a need.
What is the status of staff on the extended closure? Are they, whether or not, does that depend upon whether there's a shelter in place order?
No, not necessarily. We do have jobs available for all of our staff. You know, obviously our drivers and pairs, we're going to be helping with meal delivery and possibly educational material delivery, which we would do at the hubs as well. And then many of our pairs will be working like they always have, which should be supporting students. So if there's a special education student who needs support, between the special education teacher and the paraprofessionals, they will be the ones reaching out and connecting with kids to make sure that they're able to work through the assignments that have been provided by the teachers. We also are looking at the whole social distancing, and if we can have folks work from home, then we'll have them work from home so we don't have a large population sitting within our schools.
Yes.
At the same time, in our schools, you can do social distancing because we have, you know, many separate classrooms that folks can be alone in, not have to worry about contact.
Indeed. Is the plan for teaching staff to be in their classrooms at the school building, or a mix, or commuting from home, or is it situation dependent?
More so it's going to be a mixed model. You know, for example, if a teacher is able to work from home and be able to get what they need to do done, then we're going to support that. And if they need to come in the school to make copies or to get access to computers, then, you know, we are available for that as well. We may have things, we have yet to determine, you know, exactly how we're going to have materials made out. It might be that we have a paraprofessional sitting in our building who is going to be the main person that you send information to, and they make the copies to then get out to the students via parents picking up materials at one of our hubs or at the school door.
Oh, so in addition to food, there's going to be a regular transfer of learning materials through these hubs.
Yes, as needed based on whatever distance learning model is being used.
So we skip the backpack and we go directly to handing it off to a parent at a hub site. Okay. I think it's kind of a new world out there. I guess it's making sense to me, and I really appreciate all the balls that you have in the air to juggle at the district.
Yeah, there are a lot, but we're trying to get to them all and, you know, take people's safety into consideration. So if, you know, any of our staff are on that, fit into that high-risk group identified by the Department of Health, we want to respect them and allow them, if they can, work from home or provide, you know, whatever safety nets we can to make them feel safe.
Bill, are there some students, some situations, whether physical or intellectual disability service needs that are going to be challenging to serve with the same quality of service in a distance learning mode?
Oh, very much so. And we are working, we work with the Northern Lights Special Education Cooperative, and they're assisting us in how to frame up distance learning for that specific type population, where when you think school, they aren't the traditional student who sits in a classroom.
Right.
They may do more hands-on. So that's where our paraprofessionals may be calling them specifically, you know, on the phone, not in person, but to help work through how to deliver good, solid education as they have been receiving in a school setting.
Yeah, I think we're all learning a lot about all of the people in our society who are pretty essential that we don't always think of. And it's great to know that they're out there trying to do their job in trying circumstances. And thanks for checking in with us, Bill. I hope maybe we can check back after we go into this extended school closure period to see how all the pieces are fitting together.
Yeah, that would be great, because we do expect to hit some bumps in the road that we're going to, you know, some challenges and some opportunities both. And so we'll be addressing those, and it would be great to be able to share that out with the community.
Thanks, Bill. We'll try to keep people posted over the radio best we can with your help, your cooperation. It's the least we can do. And I wish you great luck in these interesting weeks to come. Thanks for speaking to us today on KTWH.
Thank you.
Okay, you take care.
You too. Thanks, Leo.
That was Dr. Bill Crandall. He's the superintendent of the Lake Superior School District, serving Silver Bay, Two Harbors, all of Lake County, and six townships in St. Louis County. This is Leo Baybue for KTWH.